it, and that is to sort of deflate a bit the idea that I'm such a martyr and hero. In fact, the length, the period of my imprisonment pales into insignificance compared to what, for example, our comrades in Grenada are suffering, who have been imprisoned for 33 years and still are fighting for their release. What happened was that the war had given the governor, Sir Arthur Richards, wartime powers, which meant that in order to lock somebody up, he didn't have to go through the process of prosecution and imprisonment. He just made an order. And what attracted him to making an order in respect of the four H's that you've heard about was that we were trade union officers. We had formed the new trade union movement. And also we were members of the People's National Party, which in 1938 was formed to fight for political independence for Jamaica. And those were two things that Sir Arthur Richards, a devoted imperialist, didn't like at all. And with his wartime powers, that combination was something that he strongly disapproved of. And so he made an order interning us, putting us in the what was called the internment camp. That was a camp in which prisoners of war were placed, and a few of disaffected colonials like ourselves and some others from Honduras, British Honduras, were imprisoned. Now, the length of our imprisonment, the length of the imprisonment of the four H's, before we were put in, he had put in two other Jamaicans, W.A. Domingo, who was one of the founders of the Jamaica Progressive League in New York, who was engaged in a movement in the United States of Jamaicans promoting the idea of political independence. And Domingo had come down to Jamaica in 1937 with a Jamaican author, W. Adolph Roberts, to preach this idea to us. And to their delight, they discovered that there were already many Jamaicans who were thinking over the same thing. In the lectures that they gave, the meetings that they held, they met many of us who already had this idea in 1937. So that's Domingo's background. And Norman Manley had persuaded him to come down to Jamaica. For a period initially, he promised for 6 months, because he had his business in New York to attend to work for the People's National Party, because he was quite a tremendous speaker. And this was in 1940, and the governor simply took him off the ship. He didn't even let him land. Took him off the ship and put him straight into the internment camp. The other person who was there before us was Samuel Marquis. Samuel Marquis, who's not a particularly intellectual or profound person, but he had a big mouth, what we call Jamaica, big mouth. And he was constantly talking from the platform in those early days. And his particular subject was one which really worried and alarmed the governor and the imperial government. His particular subject was the fact that in the police force, all the officers were white, except for one very, very light complexion Jamaican, and all the policemen were black. And he concentrated on this, and this they were very worried about, because they thought it would have a very disturbing effect on the police force. And so the governor had put him in. And they were put in, and they had been in there for nearly a year and a half before the 4-H's were put in to accompany them. How I became a danger both for politically and in the trade union movement was quite interesting. As a petty bourgeois lawyer, as has been indicated, it's a bit strange that I was a trade unionist. But what happened was that Arthur Henry was active in getting railway workers together to form a trade union. They had made two previous attempts, and this now, Arthur Henry, as a former railway worker, was active in getting railway workers together to form a trade union. And he asked me, as a young lawyer, to come along and talk to the workers, who the persons who were forming this union, explaining the legal implications of forming a trade union, how you had to go about registering it, and how you had to prepare a constitution for approval for the registration and so on, which I did. I drafted a constitution, I explained the law to them, and I thought that was the end of my duties. But the fellow said to me, look, Mr. Hart, this is the third time we're trying to form a trade union. The first two occasions, the railway manager has simply sent the leaders to the end of the line, and some of them in desperation have emigrated and broken up the union. But that was because they were railway workers. But you're not a railway worker, so they can't do anything to you. So would you be willing to be president of this trade union we're going to form? Well, it's a rather novel idea. Anyway, I went out on the railway engines a couple of times and picked up a shovel and shoveled a bit of coal to sort of get into the spirit of the thing. I agreed to become the president of the Jamaica Government Railway Employees Union. Well, they were quite wrong about them not being able to touch me, because as you've heard, the governor did use his powers to lock us up. But I'm afraid it's been a bit exaggerated, because it was only 4.5 months. And what happened was that we had friends in Britain. First of all, there was Sir Walter Sitreed, the secretary of the TUC. And secondly, there was a left-wing member of the coalition cabinet, Sir Stafford Cripps. And he had been in Jamaica at the time the People's National Party was formed in 1938. And so he knew us. And they complained to the colonial office about what had happened. And they got the colonial secretary to write to the governor to say, we've learned that this People's National Party are now cooperating in the establishment of a new constitution for Jamaica, which is going to introduce adult suffrage, the right for all adults to vote. And they are cooperating in the establishment of this new constitution. Are you considering releasing the people who have been imprisoned? Of course, it's a matter entirely for you. You're in charge of Jamaica. But if you are considering releasing these people, would you please let us know? And let us know when you propose to release them. This is a very sort of subtle way of hinting to the governor that really you can't just lock up people in this way. And So of course the governor replied, "Oh yes, of course, I've already decided to release the internees. It's just a matter of a little time. The first two to be released will be Domingo and Marquis, and then I'll be releasing the other four." So that's how it happened. And as I say, it was, in our case, only 4.5 months, which in modern terms is relatively little. However, it was a godsend to us because it sort of, when we were released, it's sort of treated as heroes who had suffered and so on. And that really was a tremendous help in the development of the trade union movement in the early days and in the development of the People's National Party. So that's a rather lengthy way of putting down what has been said, but I wouldn't like to think that I was a sort of hero who had suffered for years of imprisonment. It was only four and a half months of nomination. And